Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Beginning this Sunday, this room over to the left of the stage, and on Wednesday nights next week, right now there's a small group in there. We'll find another place for the small group, probably back in the green room behind the stage. We'll chase the musicians out of there and let that become a small group meeting place for some of the youth that are back there. But on Wednesday nights and on Saturday night and Sunday morning, it's going to be a prayer room during the service. I know some of you have been excited about joining a Charles Spurgeon called the Boiler Room Prayer Team. And got some updates on that from the guys that are putting this together, Ed and Jeff. They looked up the history of the Boiler Room. And it was Spurgeon showing somebody around the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. And he brought them down to the bottom floor, I guess you'd call it the basement. And as they were kind of passing through, they came to this one door, opened up this door, and there were hundreds, not just a handful, but hundreds of men and women in there praying for the service that was about to start upstairs. And so we can't fit hundreds, but we could fit dozens of people in there. So we're really asking for those of you that would be willing to pray during a service. You can attend another service, but if you'd be willing to pray during one of the services during the week, that door is just going to be open, and we'll put you in there, and you can pray for what's going on here. We're also talking about, and I was talking to Ty about this the other day. He was involved with the prayer ministry in another fellowship up in L.A., and I love this idea of having a line where you could text your prayer request to that team that would be back in that room during the service. And you could obviously text it to them before the service started, so there'd be lots and lots to pray about. But I just believe that in ways that we're just beginning to delve into, God's going to take us deeper and deeper into being a praying church. We'll learn from other churches how they do that and how they establish a culture of prayer in their congregations. But we're not going to on purpose just sort of copy the blueprint of any way that anybody else does that. But we get great ideas and feel like that's from the Lord. We'll employ those here as well. So there's going to be more and more prayer, and all the prayer that's going on, that's going to continue. But get thee into a prayer team and be a part of that, whether it's here on site, an official scheduled meeting, or just another brother or sister that you get together with and you pray for the needs. So please, please, please do that. Well, I'm going to ask you to mark your Bible in Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to be there in just a couple of minutes. But we continue to, I finally gave it the name that it should have had to begin with, Refuge School of Prayer, and I don't know, don't ask me, I don't know how long we're going to do this. But we're going to do this now and until there's just this sense that the Lord's saying, okay, now move on, but don't move beyond prayer, continue to pray. But we're going to talk tonight about the starting place. Last week during the service, right at the end, we ran through a bunch of verses, and we really didn't have time to read these together, so I wanted to put them up here and just have you read these out loud with me. These are all from Psalms, and Psalm 16, verse 1, we're talking about the joy. Do you remember when prayer was just about being in the presence of Jesus? Do you remember when it was really just, maybe it's never really just been that for you. And tonight, you may cross a very important boundary or threshold in your relationship with Jesus. Because down at the core, that's what this is all about. But for some of you, do you remember when prayer was just about being with Jesus and the joy of being in His presence? That's what all of these verses point to. So let's read together. Psalm 16, verse 11. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore. Still sound like prayer is a boring thing? I mean, to be together with God, to be in His presence, oh my goodness. Pleasures evermore, fullness of joy. Psalm 21, verse 6. You have made the king most exceedingly glad with your presence. This is David speaking to the king, to God. You've made me so glad with your presence, exceedingly glad. Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5. Let's read it out loud together. Here we go. I prayed to the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. How many of you have been thinking about getting a facelift recently? Don't raise your hand. This will lift your face. This will fill, this will change your countenance. To be in his presence, those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. One more, Psalm 43, verse 4. Let's read this. I will go to the altar of God, the God, the source of all my joy. All the best stuff is found in his presence. Amen? From his presence, he pours down good and perfect gifts upon his children. Last week, our main text was in James chapter 4, where it says, draw near to God, and he will think about it. No, he will say it. Draw near to you. You draw near to God, he'll draw near to you, and what will you find out? He was the one that prompted you to draw near to him. He was way, way, way ahead of you, seeking you, coming after you, hunting you down. Anybody thankful that Jesus knew right where you were hiding, and he found you, and he caused your heart to cry out to him? But if you reciprocate, if you seek him, you will find him. If you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Why? Because we were made by him, for him. We were made by God to know God, to love God, to serve God, and listen, to be with him, to spend time with him. I know what David said in Scripture. It's absolutely true. You can't get away from God. Where can I run from your presence? A God who's omnipresent, what would be the answer to that? Nowhere. It's foolish. But you know there's something different when you decide at any moment, I'm going to go just spend some time with the Lord. I'm going to push back all these distractions. Anybody else? Is that hard for anybody but me? To push back all the distractions. And God, I'm just going to spend time with you. I'm going to take a walk with you. I'm going to sit on this bench with you. I'm going to turn off the light and light a candle. Nothing spiritual or weird about it. And I'm just going to spend some quiet time with you. And you're going to hear from me. And if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you because you were made to be with him and to spend those special moments with him. And we were created to connect with God. I think that's what's really behind that statement in Genesis, where it says, let's make one like us. Let's create man in our own image and in our likeness, that man and women, mankind, men and women together, they connect with God in a way that the beasts of the field don't. There's something special about the way God made us for him, to commune with him and to fellowship with him, to spend good time in his presence. We were created to connect with God at the deepest, deepest, deepest levels. Not in the shallow sense, in any sense of the word. Not in the realm of trivialities, but deeply to connect with God. In intimacy that only can be defined in its depths in your relationship, your personal relationship with Jesus. I don't know what that means to you yet, but God made you to connect with him. And one of the ways we connect with God is what? What are we studying? Prayer. One of the ways we connect with God is serving him by touching other people's lives and you're resting in his grace, of course. But one of the primary ways that we connect with God, I know this sounds just all, not trite, but basic, is words. Prayer is words spoken to God. And yes, there's another side of prayer, and that's listening to the heart of God as he speaks to you and listening to the word of God as it was written for you and preserved for you and presented to you. But the vocal equipment that God gave us, it's amazing. Think about all that, and I'm sure I won't, you know, mention all of them, but think about everything that's been installed into you, that's been put there so you can say stuff or sing stuff. You've got lungs up here, not down here. You got diaphragm down here. That helps too. But you got lungs. I always mispronounce this word. You have larynx. You got vocal cords. You got the vocal box right there. You got tongue and lips and teeth. And you got a brain. How many here brought your brain tonight? You got a brain. You got a soul too. And all of those things connect so that you open your mouth using your lips, your tongue, your teeth, your vocal cords, your lungs, and all those parts that God gave you to do the most appropriate thing with all of those pieces, and that's to talk with God, to praise him. We call it worship. It's more biblically praise, to sing these beautiful songs to him. Are you thankful for the beautiful songs we get to sing together? and to say things to Him, to praise His name, to pray and to lift up our voices to Him. You were designed for communication. You were designed to say things, to sing things, to hear things as well. But you were designed to talk, designed to communicate, certainly with one another. And I know some of you communicate with your pets at a very, very, very deep level that I don't personally understand, but I'm glad that you really, really appreciate that part of God's creation. I do too. I've said this a number of times. Please don't ever give me a gift of a puppy, because I will re-gift that puppy really, really quickly to someone who wants a puppy. But I love puppies. I just don't want to live with an animal, you know, right now anyway. But I know, you know, you communicate in different ways, and your cats and your dogs, the cat ignores you, but the dog might pay attention to you. But you were designed to communicate with one another, and most importantly, primarily with God, to speak to Him. And I think many times we find ourselves giving God the silent treatment. And I don't want to lean on that too much tonight. But God made us to pray and to make contact with Him. A couple of quotes on prayer. I don't know if I put them in the right place here or not. The reason why we pray is simply that we cannot help praying. Now, I love that quote, but I don't know that it's always true, because I know a lot of people that don't pray. Look at this quote. The greatest tragedy in life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. And there's a lot of times, maybe seasons in our life where we just don't talk to God much. We don't even say thank you. We don't say help. We just very, very rarely open our mouth, use our faculties of speech, and speak to Him. But we were made to do this. So where do we start? You know, what formula? Whose formula do we use? What are the right words? How many of you were taught the right words for prayer as a kid? Pray this. Don't make anything up. Say it this way. Fold your hands like this. Left thumb over the right thumb. Not like this. That's a little too casual, but like this. And I guess there's nothing wrong with folding your hands. It keeps you from poking your sister. It keeps you from, you know, mischief. But we're taught, just say these words. But what are the right words? And how long should we speak? And how long should we sit in silence and think and meditate and listen for the voice of God? What are the parameters for all that? Well, it depends on who you ask. Here's a picture that I posted earlier today of just maybe 20% of the books that I have on prayer that are on the shelf just right above my desk. Now, there is one in there that doesn't fit. Party games, I don't know how that got into the middle of that, because this is not a game. But it depends on whose pattern you choose to follow. There are so many, there's endless formulas and approaches. There's one step, three step, 12 step approaches to just about everything in life. And there's endless hints, and there's these keys, and there's these steps. And I have a suspicion. In fact, I'd say it's really more of a conclusion that I think we have complicated prayer. I have a firm belief that it's far simpler than all of those steps and all of those formulas. And with that in mind, I want to read, did I say Isaiah 6? I mean Hebrews 6? Okay, I meant Hebrews 11, but verse 6, so you should have known that. But look at Hebrews chapter 11. We will go to chapter 4. We won't be in chapter 6 at any time. But in Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to read just one verse with me. You know the story in Hebrews 11. It's just a list of people who were greatly used by God, and they did things that are almost unimaginable, but they really, really happened. And it talks about their faith. By faith they did this, by faith they did that. But in verse 5, there's this little pause that the writer of Hebrews has. While he's talking about faith, he says, oh, let me just give you this too. He says, without faith, it is impossible. Would you read this with me? Verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Who's the Him? God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You can look that up in any translation. And it's going to say almost exactly the same thing, that it's impossible to please God if you don't walk a life of faith. Those who come to God must believe that He is. And in almost every translation, it'll translate this exactly the same. He is a rewarder. It's not like He's paying anybody off, but He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, those who long for Him, those who follow after Him. I found myself the other day praying for some people and praying for them to come to Christ, the people that our team is ministering to over in Jordan, people that I know here. And I found myself praying in a way that I had never prayed before. I still want the same thing. I want to see them walking with Jesus. How many of you have friends that you want to see them walking with Jesus? You might have even brought them tonight. You may be the one we've been praying for, or he or she have been praying for. But you know, I've always prayed, oh God, lead them to You, and don't let them find that peace until they find the peace in You, because they were made by You. And save them, Lord, from their religious, you know, weeds, and just get them to You. But I found myself praying like this, Father, and name by name, Father, make her, cause them to want You, to desire You, not just to get it right. Lord, don't drag them into Your kingdom. I don't believe, by the way, God does that. But give them desire, a want. Cause them to really, really want You, Lord. And I'm going to continue to pray that way, that it's beyond, you know, just, you know, kicking them around and getting them onto the right path, but a desire to truly, truly, truly want God. And in Hebrews chapter 11 here, I think this is where prayer starts. Those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who want Him, that seek Him. You don't seek after something you don't want, something you don't desire, but He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I think prayer starts right here with this, come to God. At the most basic level, that's what prayer is. It's just approaching God. It's coming to God. I mentioned it a moment ago, to say thank You. I wonder how many of us in this room, probably very many, have at some time in this day said, thank You, God. What are those moments where you typically every day say thanks? Thanks for the food, God. Thanks for the day. As somebody said, if you wake up and there's not a tag on your toe, it's a good day. And you just say, God, thank You. Thank You for giving me another day to live and another day to serve You. And thanks for putting food on my table. And thank You for my beautiful wife. Thank You for my wonderful kids and my grandkids. Thank You for letting me be a part of this church, this place, these people. They're called Refuge. But prayer at its most basic is just, you know, it's coming to God, drawing near to Him to say thank You, or Lord help, or praying for other people, or waging spiritual warfare. Somebody you care so much about, and it just appears that life and the devil and the world is just beating them up. And you get down on your face or on your knees and you can't let go of it, and you do battle for them. You do spiritual warfare for them. And that's another topic that we need to get into, and we will be getting into it. But it's to bring those people that we care deeply about. And as Aileen was saying, maybe we fast for them, over them. And we miss a meal or two or three or several days. Or, as she said, there's other things that you can fast from. I don't know if she said this every service, but I got it one service. She said you could fast from gossiping. That'd be a really good thing to fast from. Fast from media for a while. You know, whether it's the pocket media or the big screen media, and give God some time. And pray for those people. Do battle for them. But I think one of the most beautiful parts of coming to God is just like David said, I just want to behold Your beauty, Lord. Because, oh Lord, You're beautiful. After all, isn't the greatest moment in prayer the one when you realize that, wow, I am speaking to God. And it's safe for me to be in His presence. And not only am I speaking to Him, but this is crazy. He's listening to me. He's listening. The psalm, right, we kind of highlighted this twice, I think, in this very brief series on prayer already. He says, oh, Lord, I love You because You listen to me. Some of you probably have nobody else who listens to you attentively. If you know me, I probably don't listen to you attentively. I don't listen to anybody attentively, and I hate that. It's just this squirrel mentality. But I mean, it's just I am so easily distracted. But God pays attention to you. I guess you could almost say this might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's almost like He hangs on your every word. He hears your every word. He knows your heart before you speak it. That's your God. And think about this. You're getting to speak with the God who made you, and He's listening to you. Now, don't be so concerned. I want to get into a couple of practicals here. Don't be too concerned about the form of prayer itself. The posture. Should I be sitting or standing or walking? Or, should I just be, flat out before the Lord, prostrate? It took me years. In fact, it was only about 6 years ago to realize the difference between prostate and prostrate. Very, very different words. And I would come to that part in the song, "Let Angels," what's going to fall here? Is it the prostrate fall or prostate? But maybe it's, what do I do? What's the appropriate? You'll know what the appropriate posture is, whether it's time to kneel, sit, lay flat on your face, or as the scripture says, to even dance in His presence. Don't worry about the script, somebody else's script on what you should say. You speak your heart out to God. Don't worry about the volume, whether it's whisper time or shouting time. Again, I think you'll know about those things. You don't have to follow somebody else's formula there. Just relax, forget the technicalities, and keep it relational. Now, notice, I want you to notice three necessities here. No, I'm not saying the three keys, although they could be keys, but there's three necessities here in Hebrews chapter 11. To begin with, and I put them up on the screen here for you. To begin with, there's faithfulness, or faithless. Faithless prayer is little more than an empty ritual. So there has to be faith. I can't approach God without faith. If there's no faith in my conversation with Him, then it really does become, and I wonder how many of us have been there, where prayer is just something, get it done. Something needs to be said, just go ahead and say it, and your mind is a mile away. And there's not even a moment where you think, you kind of focus your heart and your mind and your soul and say, God, I'm trusting You for this. I'm trusting You for this. Now, I'm not saying go through any mental gymnastics, but just focus and say, God, I'm putting this in Your hand. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faithless prayer means nothing to God, I think. That might be too harsh, but I do believe that it becomes just an empty ritual, faithless prayer, little more than just, okay, I know the steps in this dance, and I walk through the steps. Secondly, and it's this, that prayer begins with a basic belief in a living and listening God. I'm not gonna speak out to a God, not in any effective way, unless I really believe that He is. He that comes to God must believe that He exists, that He's really there. He is really there. He's listening. He's a listening God, and He's the living God, a God who is, a God who exists. And the third thing here is this. Prayer is stoked. I don't mean that in the surfer term. But prayer is fueled by a confidence that God responds to diligent seekers. It's that hope that God rewards the seeker. And when I pray, so then it's more than a wish. Oh, I hope I'm saying the right words. It's more than just a sad kind of a superstition. This hope and this faith is a confidence, and it's a settled assurance that when I come to God, I know He's there. I'm going to speak to Him with what little bit of faith I have. And sometimes it feels like I barely have the husk of a mustard seed, let alone the mustard seed itself. But I'm going to take what I have and put that in something and someone that matters. You put faith in stuff all the time. You put faith in people all the time. People were putting faith in candidates, weren't they? All through the beginning of the process, and one by one, their candidates sat down and said, I can't make it. And then another one sat down. And now, you know what I read today? That I think it came over one of the news feeds that comes into my phone. And it looks like it's neck and neck with the two that are left. But it says that the people that are looking at this race are so discouraged that that's all that we have to choose from. It's sad. But they're putting their faith in them with the hope that they might make life better for them. Most people have faith. They have some sort of faith. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, to each one has been given a measure of faith. Now, some would say that's a faith to use a gift. And some would just say, God's given every one of us, and I believe this, that God has given every soul that's come into this world the ability to trust him. It depends on what they do with that ability. Everyone, I think everyone has some measure of faith. And most people, believe it or not, believe in God. The great majority of people on this planet believe that there is a God that exists. Now, they may not believe in the true and living God, but they look at the world and they say, can't be an accident. Just cannot be an accident. You know why people believe in God? Because the evidence is overwhelming. I've walked through this before. If you found that laying in the forest, you would assume somebody had been there. If you found this set of glasses laying on the sidewalk or in a wilderness somewhere, you would look at that and you would not dream in a million years that those glasses had made themselves. Would you agree that's a pretty simple piece of equipment right there? The equipment that's holding on to this pair of glasses is far more complex than the glasses themselves. And I could go on and on and on this. I'm pretty passionate about it. I'm not very bright, but I'm pretty passionate about it. And it's conclusive to me that this world did not make itself. The evidence for a living God is overwhelming. But I've been doing something that's been a little bit painful recently. I've been listening to God debates. I've been listening to debates between Dinesh D'Souza and other people, and I can't think of the rabbi, but and Richard, is it Hitchens? What's Hitchens' last name? He's passed away. Oh, whatever his name was. But I'm sorry, that's not a terrible way to say it. But been listening to these debates between Sam Harris and a rabbi or Sam Harris and a Christian, and it's just, it's kind of sad that people can face what we face every day and absolutely miss the obvious. Now, in both sides of the debates that I've been listening to, and I listened to a handful of them, there's lots of humor and lots of sarcasm, lots of put down for one another, and there's an extremely weak atheist case that just ignores the evidence that's before us every single day. In fact, to listen to Sam Harris, and some of you have heard Sam Harris, he really is, although I'm not sure he would admit it, he's a deist of sorts. He just says, I just don't believe in any kind of God that writes books. And then he makes a joke about it. And then he makes some sarcasm about it. And is a master at getting the debate off of the prescribed track that it's supposed to be on. But he at least he's honest enough to say, yeah, well, there seems to be something out there, but I don't think he writes books and cares about what we do with our morality. And it's just the overwhelming evidence is that most people have faith. Most people, by and large, believe in a God that exists. But how many believe God truly is a rewarder of those who seek him? See, that begins to define the kind of God that you believe in. What kind of God you believe you're speaking to when you use those vocal capacities and you lift up your request or maybe you lift up your thanks to him. What kind of God are you believing in? A God who truly responds when you pray? I wonder how many, even in this room, when you pray to him over whatever that need might be, a friend that needs to come to Jesus, someone who's walking through a time of great need and lack, and maybe financial, maybe physical need. Do you believe that God is really, really listening to you, ready to respond to you? You're knocking on his door, and he's ready. He's sort of in a just, you know, by way of a prayer, he's running to the door to let you in. Last night, Joy was coming home from the ladies' study, and I was already home. Now, my truck was out in the driveway, but I was sort of in the living room, and I could hear that she was at the door, and she tried the doorknob, and obviously it was locked, and so I know she's getting her keys out, and I ran to the door, and I grabbed the door and opened it up, and I scared the daylights out of her. She didn't expect me to be there to open the door. I mean, my truck was in the driveway, but there's just, the way that I opened it up, and it just was, and you know, sometimes I think Christians would be surprised at how ready God is to open the door, how ready he is to respond to you. You may not even, if for the for a split second, think, God, you're really there. Thank you that you're really here right now, tonight, this morning, this afternoon, listening to me. A God who really is ready to fling the door open and respond to you. Yes, and embrace you. Yes, and answer those prayers. I just want to encourage you to make prayer more than a religious routine. Get in personal with God. And we're going to do that here in just a minute. We're going to spend a little bit more time in worship and in prayer. And maybe lifting some more requests before God that have come to mind as we've been going through the evening here. But prayer has got to be more than a religious routine that we walk through. Because, it's 6:15 in the morning and it's time for me to pray. It's fine. 6:15, that's when you get up. That should be the first person we should speak to, should be God. The last one we speak to at night should be God. And if your wife is already fast asleep, then whisper it to God. Okay, don't shout it to God. Just say, God, thank you for a great day. Thank you for your love and your grace. Last person, first person we should be speaking to at the beginning and at the end of the day. But don't let it be a religious routine. And please don't let prayer become some kind of a penance, okay? That you're working your way out of trouble with God. And so you got to pray long and you got to pray hard and you got to pray all sweaty and all that to get God to be nice to you again. That'll spoil the way that we approach Him. That, you know what that would mean? What would be the result of that? Prayer would remain just a religious burden. Something that has to be done. And when you've gone 3 days and you haven't done it, then you're just going to feel condemned again. You're going to feel less than worthy. Of course, you want to be praying every day, but don't let it be that religious burden or just a routine that needs to be rushed through. If I approach God like that, I'll end up groveling before Him again with this ongoing, oppressive sense of unworthiness. I would be pestering God with vain repetition to get a response from Him. How many of you know what I mean? Like the child that was in seat 25H on the flight from Toronto to Tel Aviv. I happen to have a picture of that child. I just thought you'd like to see that child. She's all camped over there in the corner, and that's about the best that she was for the whole flight. And she was just wailing and pestering Mom and Dad, and he went over. I better get that picture off. I'll get in trouble with somebody. But I don't come to God to pester Him into blessing me, to nagging Him. Prayer is not nagging God. Prayer is not whining to God. Prayer is that fellowship with Him, that time in His presence where things ought to get sweet because you're with the lover of your soul. You can tell a lot about what a person believes by the way they speak to God. You get into a prayer group and you can tell a lot about me, but by the way that I speak to God, whether I feel welcome in His presence, feel like I belong in His presence. Do I speak freely and honestly to Him? Conversationally, do I get beyond the formula? Do I come boldly before His throne? You know what the word there boldly means? I want you to turn to it. It's in Hebrews chapter, well, we're going to get to it in a second, but it's in Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to flip back just one page to Hebrews chapter 10. The word boldly means to come openly and with confidence. You can come right. Our kids, when they come to our house, they never stand at the door and knock unless they forgot their key. They know that they're welcome. They come in boldly. They never come cowering into our presence. In chapter 10, look at verse 19. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest. The holiest. How many of you know a little bit about Jewish worship in the days of the temple, the days of the tabernacle? How many people got to go into the holiest, the holy of holies? One. How often? Once a year. One person, once a year. Because it was deemed that it was not safe for any sinner to walk into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies. The veil that was there was for protection, for your protection. It wasn't to keep God in. It was to keep you out for a time until the blood of Christ had been shed. But now we can come, read it with me, verse 19, with boldness, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, keep reading, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, verse 22, loud and clear, here we go. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, you're clean now in his presence. Why? Because blood was shed for you. And the door has been opened. How was the veil removed? Ripped from top to bottom. So you could enter into the presence of God. We can come boldly to his presence. Flip on back one more verse to Hebrews chapter 4. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Let's read this together as well. You ready? I heard one person say, mm-hmm. Anybody else ready? Okay, let's read together. Verse 14 down to verse 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Pause there for a second. That's one of the reasons you pray. When you're being drawn in the wrong direction, and you come to him knowing he was tempted to go in the wrong direction, but he didn't. He knows how to help you in times like that. That's when you talk to God another time. So look at verse 16. I'll read this one strong. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come confidently and come boldly into his presence. Well, why? Well, because you belong there. You belong there. Remember, you've been personally invited to appear in his presence and to draw near. Let me ask you a question. I love what-if questions, don't you? No, Pastor Bill, I really don't like what-if questions. Well, here's one for you. What if we don't? What if tonight, before the night's over, although the door is open, the invitation is constant, what if I don't take any more time today to draw near to God? What if I decide, I'm just a little bit too busy? Well, it's not a good scenario if I choose not to draw near to God, because then I guess I have to bear all my burdens myself and lean on my own wisdom and lean on my own strength or find somebody else to do that for me, when God is saying, if you come here, I'll help you. If you come here, I'll listen. If you come here, I'll answer. If you come here and settle down in my presence, I'm here for you. See, it's not a good scenario. What if I don't? Well, then I have just cut myself so short. And I've left so much grace on the table that's put there for me. So why would we not? Why would we not let our speech to him reflect this simple confidence in who he is? By the way, my true view of God, I think, is most revealed in how I talk to God when nobody else is listening. Not when I'm praying for the congregation, before the congregation, not even when I'm praying with joy, or praying over our meal, or praying with our kids. But I think my real true view of God is revealed in how I talk to him when I get alone with him. And hopefully that's the most honest time in my prayer life with God. When I pour out my heart and I'll say things to God when I'm alone with him, I probably wouldn't say. Yeah, I'm not talking about language. I mean, I still use good language when I speak to God. But it's when I know that he is for me. And I can lift all those burdens to him. And I can tell him about what I'm struggling with, even in his book. And tell him, God, I don't understand this. I've even said this to God not all that long ago. God, I don't know why that's in the Bible. I don't know why you let that be in the Bible. You got to help me understand that and see how it fits, if there's a way to understand that. How many of you listen to Pastor's Perspective? And I love those questions. And they always say, oh, that's a good question. Which is, it's nice and gracious to say that, but there are some, when I hear the question come in, I think, oh, that's a good question. What's Brian going to say? What's James going to say? What's Don going to say about that one? And you know what? I love it when they say, you know what? The jury's still out on that one for me. I don't understand that. And one day, we will get it. But I think my true view of God what I really believe about God, it's demonstrated in the way that I talk to Him when nobody else is listening, when it's just me and Jesus. Well, will we ever get this right? What? Will we ever become experts at prayer? I found a great quote. It's in a book on prayer, obviously, by Philip Yancey. And it's just a really great quote on this endeavor. Anybody here really want to become a great prayer warrior? Let me put it that way. Anybody want to be strong in prayer, and powerful, and watch God answer prayers and discern what's God's will and what's not God's will and pray according to God's will? A lot of that is really simple. But listen to what Thomas Merton said. I'll put it up here on the screen. He said, "We do not want to be beginners at prayer, but let us be convinced of the fact that we will never be anything but beginners all of our life. We're going to remain on the growth curve. We're going to remain on that, am I saying that right? We're going to remain on that path where we're hopefully getting stronger and stronger because, like David said, I will pray to you as long as I live. I will never, like Paul said, I'm never going to give up on prayer. I will pray without ceasing. I will never lay aside the prayer app. I will never drag it off my desktop. I will pray. I will pray the rest of my life. I will talk to you, God, as long as I live." Amen? You too? Let's do that then. God is there and He's listening. One more scripture. Look at it up here. I love this. I never thought about this. Does He who fashioned the ear not hear? Of course He hears. He hears you. So let's spend just a couple of minutes. Here, I did it again. Is it? What time is it up there? Oh, I did it again. I talked too long. Okay, beginners, let's begin. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, You're a good, good Father. And we're loved by You, Lord. We thank You, Father, that You hear us when we pray. And Father, tonight, we just want to start maybe in the most appropriate way this evening. We want to say thank You, Lord. We got lots of areas we need help, but we want to say thank You for what You've already done. Oh, Father, hear us as we pray. Oh, Lord God. I want to invite you, all of us in here right now, just to lift up some prayers of gratitude at one time. These would be like a whole room full of people whispering their prayer, speaking out loud to God, using those vocal capacities that He gave you. Let's just lift hundreds of prayers of praise and gratitude to Him right now. Oh, Father God, I thank You. Thank You for my family, Lord. Thank You for my kids, my grandkids. Oh, Jesus, thank You. Let's raise our voices just a little bit more. Above a whisper, above a whisper. Let's give Him praise. God, I thank You that You have not stopped loving me. Let's lift up that word, hallelujah. Just speak that out to Him. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise You, Lord. It means praise You, Lord. You know it in another language? Go ahead and say it in that language too. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Father God, that I am loved by You. Thank You, Father, that You are attentive to my prayer. Thank You, Father God, that You have loved me enough to even invite me to serve You. Thank You, Father God, for hearing us tonight as we've come before You. And Lord, thank You for lifting burdens. Thank You for giving a garment of praise tonight for those who came in here with a spirit of heaviness, Lord. Father, I just pray that the level and the volume of our praise, Lord, the content of it would just increase, Lord. We would be a praising people, Lord. Even as we bring points of intercession and great, deep, desperate needs to You, Lord. Thank You for receiving our praise tonight, Lord. And we pray, Lord, probably very, very soon over in Jordan, Jesse and Ryan and Jen and Eric and Christy and Kathy are going to arise, Lord. And they're going to get on about a day that You have filled with them, with great things for them to do. Father, we thank You for them. And we thank You that You will bless them today, Lord. You will bless them. You will keep them. You'll cause your face to shine upon them. And you will be gracious to them, Lord. You will lift up your countenance over them and cause them to walk in peace. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Draw near to God. Draw near to God. That's where it starts. That's where it keeps going.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.